First John chapter 4. We'll continue there. Probably won't spend a whole lot of time there this morning, but we're going to start there. First John chapter number 4 and verse 1, we'll read down through verse 3. It says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come. And even now already is it in the world." And so last week we looked at verse number 1 there about how it's so important for us as believers to try the spirits. We've got to use discernment in this thing. And it is so necessary in the day we live in. We've got so much false doctrine out there being taught. And I'm thankful for a good church where we get to come and hear the truth. Yeah. Folks, we take that for granted. There's places you could go in our country and not have a place to hear the truth. Right here in the United States of America, where you couldn't drive there on a Sunday. And we're blessed to be right here. It takes me about 4 minutes to get right here. And just what a privilege to be able to come to a place where we can hear the truth. So I'm thankful for it. But today we're going to dive into verse number 2. After he talks about trying the spirits and the false prophets that are in the world, he says, "Hereby know ye the Spirit of God."
Oh, yes.
How important it is for us to know when the right spirit is present.
Right.
Not just any spirit, but the Spirit of God.
Yes, sir.
That's the one it's talking about. And it says, but you notice how we know the big Spirit of God, he associates that in the next part of the verse with little spirits. See, what happens is a lot of times the Holy Spirit uses our spirits
right.
to manifest himself. And the problem is that every spirit is not associated with the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
But if you can get your spirit yoked up with his, it'll be right.
Yes, sir.
But we got to make sure that everybody's on that page whenever we come together. He says, "Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God." Mm-hmm. Now, you say, well, that seems real simple. And in the day that we live in, if you were to just go ask the Mormons, "Did Jesus Christ come in the flesh?" what would they tell you? Yeah, absolutely he did, right? But is that the same Jesus that it's talking about? No. If you were to go ask the Jehovah's Witnesses, "Was Jesus in the flesh?" Well, yeah, they'd say that. But is that the one that we're talking about? Not at all. So we have to really dive in here to understand what he's trying to tell us about every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. There's a lot of implications with that little verse. That the Bible's teaching a lot of doctrines right here in that little verse about why Jesus came in the flesh. It's not just he came, but Creston, it's why he came, what he did when he came, who he was that came. Those are all the details that John is trying to make sure that we understand. And I'll get there in a little bit probably and say this again, but when you look at the Gospel of John, you know how many times that he says that he was sent from the Father?
Oh, yes.
How many? I counted over 40. Over 40 different times Jesus himself shared with people how he was sent from the Father. Do you reckon that was important for people to understand? That's of the utmost importance.
Yep.
See, the problem is a lot of doctrine today is taught that Christ is not from God, that he's not God. Folks, he is God.
Amen.
He is God in the flesh. So here's how we figure out what is the working of the real Spirit. What is the message of the real Spirit of God? That's important. Very important. And as I thought on these things, I couldn't help but just meditate on it. And it seemed like the Lord just gave me some different thoughts. And I ended up over in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 10. We're going to parallel this with some of the things in that this verse is teaching. So flip over to Hebrews chapter 10. I'm going to read several verses here. We're going to go down through several different thoughts as we dive into what this verse, what the implications of this verse really are. Very, very important stuff. Hebrews chapter 10. We're going to read the first 18 verses, so y'all just follow along with me. It says, "For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? Because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins.
That's right.
Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now, where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin."
That's right.
And so as I got to pondering on that verse over there in 1 John, my mind just came over here to this chapter in the book of Hebrews, how that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, and that is the message of the Spirit of God.
Yep.
And so that's what this passage here in Hebrews is telling us in a nutshell. And a few things that I want to mention today is the message of the Spirit is always one thing. It's Christ Jesus.
That's it.
That is the message of the Spirit. And if the message that you're hearing from a spirit adds anything to or takes away anything from Christ, it is the wrong spirit.
Yes.
And you say, well, where do you find that? I've got it written down. John chapter 5, verse 39. It says, "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me."
Yep.
That's what Jesus said. And in John 15:26, it says, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me."
Yes.
You notice the correlation between the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and the Scriptures.
That's right.
These two always align.
Yes.
You ever get somewhere and the Spirit that's operating in that area, they say is about Jesus, but what they're doing don't align with this book,
right, brother?
Wrong spirit.
That's
you just guarantee it. It's the wrong spirit every time. But you get somebody that's operating in the Holy Spirit, and man, it starts bearing witness with your spirit, and they're talking and uplifting and magnifying Jesus Christ.
That's
guess
right.
What happens? They align with this scripture, and it's right, and God is pleased.
Yeah.
But it takes that. It takes the Spirit working in the little spirits, us, and align them with this scripture.
Yep.
You put all those pieces together, folks will have meeting this week. But if we allow our spirits to be in the wrong spirit, we'll not have meeting. It's that simple. But so understand that the message of the Spirit, the Spirit of God, is Christ. So the first thing is the Spirit, His Spirit, or His message is simple. He said the blood of bulls and goats could not take away sin. He said, first off, nothing you can do works. There's nothing you or I can do. We can give the best of our flocks, the best of our herds, the best of everything that we have. Never be good enough.
That's right.
Couldn't take away our sin, Jesse. That's the message. That's the purpose of why Christ came. It's real simple. But a body thou hast prepared for me, Christ came in the flesh. That is the message. It was required that Christ come in the flesh. God was never pleased until Christ came. But here we find Christ said, lo, I come. Two different times. Lo, I come. Lo, I come. And Paul said it this way, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2. He said, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. The message of the Spirit of God is always simple.
Yes.
First thing, remember, when people start trying to complicate it, add to it, twist it up, add works to it, add this to it, add that to it, you know it's the wrong spirit.
That's right.
But when you go in a place and they're teaching, or if you're with a person and they're telling Brother Doug how that Jesus Christ and Him alone changed their life and made the difference, you know they're probably operating in the right spirit.
Oh, yes.
And so the first thing that we've got to remember is that the message is a simple message. The problem is a lot of people pervert that message today.
Right.
They pervert it, Brother Creston. And do you remember what Paul said over in Galatians chapter 1, I think? Chapter 1, verse 6. We'll read it real quick.
Yes, sir.
Very important for you, for everybody to understand this. Paul said in chapter 1 of Galatians, verse number 6, he says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from Him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. That's
right.
The same today.
Yeah.
We still have those today, those spirits that are not with the Holy Spirit. It says, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ.
That's right.
Paul wasn't worried about what man had to say. He cared about what God said through the revelation of Jesus Christ to him and through what the Scriptures revealed about Him. Folks, the message of the Spirit of God is simple. It's Christ. It's Christ. And we start complicating it and changing it, messing it up, we'll be in trouble. But Brother Kevin, you keep preaching that the message is simple and that it's Christ. Brother Hunter, you get up here this week and you preach a message about Jesus Christ, it'll be good. You can't go wrong about Jesus.
Right.
You keep it about Him. Well, in all things around here, guess who we want to be preeminent?
Right.
It better be Jesus Christ. When you get up to testify, when you get up to sing,
yes,
guess who needs to be preeminent?
Yep.
Christ Jesus.
Right.
We start making it about us. We start making it about how
yes.
this goes or that goes, folks. It won't be no good.
Right.
We make it about Jesus. It'll be good. That's a simple message, isn't it? Make it about Him. And so not only is it simple, but it's a single message. In verse number 7 there, man, I'm in the wrong book. Let me get over there. Back to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10. He said, then lo, I come. You notice that that's a singular pronoun,
right.
I. In the volume of the book, it is written of what?
Me.
Then he went on and said, lo, I come. That's singular. It wasn't that somebody else came. There was nobody else that could come
right.
to do the work that Christ did.
Amen.
He could only do it. And folks, it's just if they try to put anything with it, I already said this, but It's a singular message. And it has to be about Him. I'm glad it's simple. Man, it was so simple that as a 9-year-old boy, I got a hold of it. And I'm thankful for it. I've been holding on to that message ever since. Real simple. Now, you say, well, how is it so simple, but we still don't understand it today? Well, I've been in this thing for going on 30 years. I'll be 39 this year. I'll be 39 this year. This year, this November, will be 30 years. And Jerry, I still don't understand it all. But I believe more now than I did then.
I guarantee that's right.
I don't know what to tell you, but I sure believe a lot more about it than I did then. Because I didn't know no better. There's a lot of things I just didn't know. All I knew was, Kevin said it Wednesday night, maybe or Sunday, about the first verse we learned, right? John 3:16. That's probably about all I knew. But it was enough. It was enough. It was enough. It's been working for about 30 years now. And I don't have any plans on changing. But it's not because of me. It's just because God did something so great. Makes a difference. It's a simple message, but it has to be a single message. Paul said, nothing but Christ and Him crucified. That is the message. 1 Timothy 2:15 says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men.
That's right.
The man, Christ Jesus. Anybody starts to come around telling you they're the man, you say, well, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is the man. The man, Christ Jesus. Folks, it's a single message. Don't add to it. But I'm thankful not only is it simple and it's single, but the Bible teaches that it's a satisfying message.
That's right.
And yeah, it satisfied me, but more important than satisfying me, the message of Jesus Christ,
yes,
it satisfied God.
Right.
You see, without Him being satisfied, you and I could never experience salvation.
That's true.
If the Father was not satisfied with the Son coming in the flesh, you and I would still be left in our sins today and be without hope. Have no hope without Christ. But it's a satisfying message. The Bible says here in chapter 10, verse number 7, that He came to do whose will? Thy will, O God. God was satisfied. It was His will for Christ to come. It wasn't that He came begrudgingly. Christ came willfully. And the Father chose Him to come. He chose that. That was His desire to come. It says, through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ in verse 10, He offered one sacrifice. It was by one offering in verse 14. You see, Jesus, we said this last week too, I think. It says, this is My beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. God was satisfied with Christ. Simple message, single message, and it satisfied Him.
Hey.
Ephesians 5:2 puts it this way. Paul said, Christ, that he hath given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor.
Yep.
That savor wasn't for you and I, but that offering of Christ was a sweet-smelling savor to God. He was pleased when Christ gave Himself. And I'm thankful for the message. So you got the message of the Holy Spirit, simple, it's single, it's always satisfying. You see, when we get to start thinking that we have to do other things to satisfy God's wrath, to appease it, you're taken away from the simplicity
of
the gospel.
Right.
When you start trying to add works, you start trying to add any other thing. Whether it be water baptism, sacraments, anything you start adding to just the simple message, you're not going to be satisfying God no more.
That's right.
He's, as far as I know, He's satisfied with one thing.
Yep.
And that's
right.
Jesus. That's it, Brother Kristen. And because He's satisfied with Jesus, that's it. That's because one day I was satisfied that I needed Him.
Yeah.
And the Lord said, because you decided you wanted Him and I want Him, we can yoke up together. And so when he looks at me, it's not that he's pleased with me, but he just sees his son and says, I don't know about that cat, but I know about that one, and I'm pleased with him. And so, folks, Nathaniel sent me that song in his eyes this morning, and I thought, hey, that you all sing? Amen. Some of you ain't heard that. They might sing that this week. That'd be a blessing. And but it talks about, man, in your eyes, you may see, I don't know what you might see, but in his eyes, when God looks down at me, and he sees the blood of the Lamb, boy, it's simple.
Hallelujah.
But man, he's satisfied with it. Satisfied. And I can't satisfy him. And Lord knows how often that I get in that mindset, Brother Hunter, and I try to satisfy him. And I think, God, I need to be doing this, and I need to be doing that. But what a blessing when I come to the book, and I'm reminded once again. Well, I get reminded that, hey, Josh, no matter how hard you try, you're not going to satisfy me until you look back to what Christ did at Calvary. And, boy, you get to looking at him and what he's done, and you start thanking the Lord and worshiping for what he's done and not about what we've done. Folks, he gets satisfied. Folks, I don't know about you, but I want him satisfied with me. I want him satisfied with my family. But when we get our eyes off of Christ and what he's done, no satisfaction. Well, but when we lift him up, folks, he'll be satisfied. And that's what I want for this morning. That's what I want when I'm up here. That's what I want when we come to worship here in just a few minutes. Well, I just want God to be satisfied. But folks, he's only satisfied. Only satisfied with Christ. Never forget that. Well, this world, you go out here and visit. Start talking to these other people and they start talking about how they're trying to live right and do this and I hope I make it and all these things and I'm praying that I get there. Well, I just... Yeah, that's sad.
Yeah.
But man, I sit back and think I ain't got to worry about none of that. Man, it's all about what he did, Brother Bill. And I know that based on what Christ did, he is satisfied. Well, I don't know about you, but that is my profession. When the Bible tells about I'm holding fast my profession, it's not that I did anything.
No, sir.
I just profess that he did everything.
Yeah.
That's what I'm professing. I'm not professing that I'm anything. I'm professing he's everything.
Yeah.
And man, you get a hold of that, that's how you get satisfaction to the Savior. He's everything. Like that song, he's all I need. Folks, if he's not good enough, they won't none of us make it. We're just no chance. But the good thing is there's a guarantee because he's already there.
Hey.
He's already made it.
Yeah.
He's already there. Stephen done testified he's there.
That's
he looked
right
up and said, I see him.
Well,
it's bad right here where I'm at, but I look up there and he's already there and I'm going to where he's at.
Yeah. Yes.
This is our hope, folks, that God was satisfied with Christ. It's a simple message, it's a single message, and you better believe it's a satisfying one.
Yeah.
But that's not it. That's not it. If it was just simple and it was single and it was satisfying, that would all been good and God would have been pleased with it. But there was a day it impacted me. It became a saving message.
That's right.
You see, the message of the Holy Ghost is not just that Christ came in the flesh, but that he did it for you.
Right.
And he did it for me. That's the significance, is that Christ came for you and he does the work. And that's a saving message. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter 10 here, verse 14, that he hath perfected for how long?
Forever.
How long's forever?
Forever.
Forever.
Yeah.
Them that are sanctified. You reckon that's a saving message?
Yeah.
That's as good as it gets. Forever. I like them words. Forever, eternal, everlasting.
Me too. God does too.
That's how he works. That's how he works.
Yeah.
But folks, he says he hath perfected. That's past tense.
Yep.
Forever.
Hallelujah.
They're getting ahead of me this morning. It's a done deal. Done deal. Folks, all you're doing when you get saved is you're getting in on the deal that's already done. You're just being let in on it, Brother Hunter. It's nothing. You got no part in it. I mean, you got nothing to add. There's nothing you can do. It's just a deal that's done. And all you're saying is, Lord, I see that deal and it's so good. I can't pass it. Can I get in on that? And he says, absolutely. I done it for you. You better believe it. You better believe it. There's nothing better. It's a good deal. It's good up here today. I hope it's good back there. Hunter, I hope today when you get up here, that it's good or better. It's good. But folks, it's a saving message. His work was perfect. He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. And you say, well, I sure don't feel too perfect. Well, what you see is not what he perfected. He did a work on the inside. And what he did, it is perfect. In fact, John said he cannot sin. He that's born of God cannot sin. It's impossible. And it's impossible for God to lie. So I know that that's true. There's somebody in me that don't have no problems. He don't. I'm already seated with him in heavenly places. I'm in Christ. Hid with Christ in God. Man, I can't be touched.
Right.
But Miss Beth, he didn't save my flesh.
Right.
Donnie, he didn't save your flesh. But there's somebody on the inside, man. He made a difference in.
Right.
And you know what I'm talking about if you've ever been born again. That Holy Spirit starts bearing witness with your spirit that you are a child of God, you're a son of God. And he goes on, he doesn't end there. In verse 17, he says, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now, I know there's a lot of songs about forgetting, and that's fine. There's a lot of good songs about the Lord forgetting. But it's not that he forgot. It's so much better.
Yeah.
So much better. He chooses, and I'll say this, unless the Lord ever changes his mind, he literally chooses to not remember.
That's right.
It's not that he just accidentally forgot.
Nope.
He didn't accidentally forget your sins. He willfully put them away. Willfully to never remember them again.
Right.
He says, I'll remember them no more. I never have to worry about Christ ever bringing that up. Never. Now, I may bring it up. The devil may bring it up. Some old friends. I'll use my dad as an example just because he'll have to love me regardless. But you know, over the years, Brother Jerry, there's been times people have tried to come up to me and they'll want to tell me a story about my dad from 40 years ago. That's BC. That's right before Christ, Kevin said. And I'm just thankful that you can tell me that story.
Hallelujah.
But I'll say, I don't know that man.
Right.
It's not the one that I know.
Hallelujah.
I never heard a cuss word out of them two.
Praise the Lord.
God did a work. And you say, are you sure about that? I'm sure. Them two right there. I'm not saying they were perfect. There was a lot they didn't know. There's a lot probably they didn't understand. They wasn't raised in this. But Hunter, they didn't get saved till y'all were what, 20, 25, 22, 25? There's a lot of years. They didn't have what I had.
Right.
I can't expect them to have known all the things that I know at that age. But God did such a work. He's changed my whole family.
Yeah.
Folks, it's a saving message.
Yeah.
Paul was so confident in it that he told that Philippian jailer, he said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house. He said, it won't just be good for you, but it'll be good for your whole family. I can testify to that. I got four. He's got five. How many you got? It's good for all of them. Everybody in here, it's good enough to save us all. I never have to worry about him running out. The work he did was good enough for everybody. This is the message of the Spirit of God. This is why Jesus Christ came in the flesh. Folks, He came to save. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 1:15, this is the faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief, Paul said. He said, if He can save the chief, save all the Indians. Right? That's the word. So, but in John 3:17, He said, for God sent not His Son into the world to do what? To condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. You never convinced me that God didn't come to save you. There's a group that would try to tell you that God didn't come to save everybody. But it says He came that the world through Him might be saved. And I reckon that everybody in here is in the world, ain't they? In this world. Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. It's a saving message. It's a saving message. So because the message is simple and it's single and it's satisfying, man, it was a saving message for me. And I hope it is for you. If you're saved, it was. And this was the message. And if you'd be honest, you didn't understand nothing when you got saved either. I mean, you might think you're smart and that you knew anything about God, but in your flesh, you can't understand the things of God. It don't work. You can't be subject to Him, the Bible teaches us. Neither indeed can be. It just don't work. Until you're born again, you can't grasp what I'm talking about today. But you ever get born again, you can't let it go. One way you can't get a hold of it, the other way you can't let it go. Man, it's a simple message, isn't it? And we've got so much, folks, to keep it that way. If we try to mess it, man, if we try to add to it, make ourselves look smart. Boy, Kevin, you did so good the other night. He was talking about, some of you didn't miss that. I'll give you a little bit of a recap. He's talking to them kids about the simple message that they can have to people. And you know what the message is always about?
Yeah.
It's just about Jesus. And so we got to talking about that little servant girl over there, Naaman's servant. And she's like, I can't help you, but I would to God that you could get over there where the man of God's at. If I could just get you the right one, the right place,
right,
with the right power, the right person, the right place with the right power. That's all we can do. That's the message. That is the message. You know who that is? It's Jesus Christ. Man, that little woman at the well, she got saved and she ran out there to the town, all them people, and all she could say was, come see a man that told me all things ever I did. I don't know, is not this the Christ? She said, I don't know nothing. I just know He's Jesus Christ. Well, she couldn't share the message of the gospel. She didn't know, I mean, you know, the sanctification and propitiation and all those things. Didn't understand. You don't either. Even those of us that claim we do, we don't. We just think we do. There's so much more to this thing than what we understand. But that doesn't change the fact that the message of the gospel is simple. It's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, I'm thankful for it. What time is it? It's what time? Oh, okay. All right, I'll get this one anyway. So not only is it just a saving, it's not just a saving message for you and I, but don't ever forget this. It's a sanctifying message. God don't just stop at your belief and that's it. But He does a work and changes you. Now, spiritually, He sanctifies you immediately. And what I mean, that he makes a saint out of you. He makes you holy on the inside. He sets you apart for Him. You're His. You're His service. That's what you're supposed to be. But in verse 10 there of chapter 10 of Hebrews, it says, by the which will we are sanctified through what? Through the offering of the body of who? Jesus Christ. Once for all. I like them terms too, once for all. That's good. That's real good. Folks, it's a sanctifying message. So when you get saved, he sanctifies you, puts you in a different place than you used to be. You're set apart.
Thank God.
We're not of the world no more. We're of Him. And 1 Corinthians 6:11, Paul said this, "And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." Folks, it's a sanctifying message. He makes a difference. He makes such a difference on the inside that it comes out on the outside.
That's right.
And if it don't, then you didn't get sanctified to begin with.
Right.
And guess what? It happens all at once because it all comes with Jesus.
Yep.
It's not this, it don't take two or three works to get it. If you got Jesus, you got sanctified.
Yep.
Now, we understand that there's an immediate sanctification, and then there's a progressive one that occurs in the life of a believer. There are things now that I wouldn't do that I wouldn't have thought twice about doing 20 years ago. I didn't understand the implications and the harm that it did at the time for the cause of Christ. But now, Brother Creston, over the years, I've seen that. God has worked in my heart, made a difference, and said there's a reason we can't do that. We just don't do that. Or, not just that, there's also some things I didn't do 20 years ago that God said, you need to be doing. And guess what I started doing? Some of them. Guess what? Now there's probably things in my heart now that He's working on. That He's trying to get rid of. But then there's other things He's trying to add to it. That's the progressive part of sanctification. This is all the implications of Jesus Christ coming in the flesh. It's all about Christ. And I hope that's a help to you. We're out of time today, but... but I appreciate the good Spirit of God and the presence of the Lord this morning. Appreciate y'all's good attention. We'll try to pick back up there if the Lord allows us next time. Be praying for Brother Hunter, or not Brother Hunter. I think Brother Kevin's maybe preaching this morning. Whoever, it don't matter who preaches. As long as it's in the Holy Ghost, we'll just follow the Lord. And just pray for them. Pray for the service. Everybody come ready to worship this morning.
Amen.
We come back. We'll have prayer for everybody that wants to pray.